Number 32 of the 48 ways reads, Ohev et habriot. Ohev means to love. Es is the, briot is creation. So what does it mean to love creation? So you've already had the definition of love. The definition of love is an emotion. Love is an emotion. It's an emotion of pleasure that we human beings have when we see beauty, when we see virtue, when we understand and appreciate virtue and beauty in another human being, or in anything, and identify it with that beauty. So love creation means to appreciate the beauty of the creation that you're in. But particularly when the rabbis use the word in the Mishnah, when they use briot, when they use creation, they're talking about the center of creation, and that is human beings. As far as Judaism is concerned, human beings are still the point of the whole creation. The whole creation, the galaxies, the universe, the whole thing. And we're going to stick to that aspect of it. Take pleasure in human beings. When you see a human being, see music. Yeah? In order to use your potential, be surrounded with music. So if you've got to wait for a bus and you're surrounded by irritating people, wears you down. Yeah? You're sitting on the bus and you're surrounded by these irritating people, wears you down. On the other hand, if you see all those gorgeous creatures around you, energizes you. That's, if you want to live and want to use your potential, you want to be energized, you got to learn to love humanity. Okay, so I'd like to focus your attention on the problems involved in loving by giving you an illustration. The illustration I'd like to use is, I ask you, you know, someday you're going to get married, right? Be'ezrat Hashem, we hope you'll get married. Do you want to love the girl, or would it be sufficient to be infatuated? Nobody wants to marry a girl when he's infatuated. He wants to love the girl, right? You want the girl to love you or to be infatuated? You want her to love you, yeah? Well, did you ever notice that when people are infatuated, they think they're in love? It's a problem. You know, when you think you're in love, you might be just infatuated, yeah? All right, now to intensify it, I'm sure you fellas have heard that you want to break up a beautiful love affair. It's been going along for 5 years. I don't know if you've heard about it, yeah, but the way to break up a beautiful love affair, that's, they've been cooing and mooning like doves, you know, for 5 years. How do you break it up?
Get married.
Heard about it? Get married. All of a sudden you get married. The same couple that they've been getting along famously, all of a sudden they get married. Dishes go zap. You didn't come home on time. You didn't make supper. What's going on? Boop, boop. Wang. Right? And they fall out of love. Did you ever hear that expression? They fell out of love, fell in love, fell out of love. Yeah. Do you really think it's possible to fall out of love? Think for a moment. Is it possible for a human being to fall out of love? You fall out of infatuation, not out of love. Do you think your parents someday might fall out of love with you? It's inconceivable, right? When you love, it's forever. Yeah, you fall out of infatuation, out of comfortable situation. So in order to do things right, you have to understand love, you have to know how to use it, you have to know how to distinguish between that appreciation of virtue, which is love, and infatuation, which is an illusion of virtue, but it's really desire. So let's learn how to love humanity so we can go about doing this job real good. Number one of how to go about it is focus on the goal. I want you to remember the goal is not work, but what's the goal? Pleasure. Anybody against that? Yeah? No, love is pleasure. So the goal is to have pleasure. What's the pleasure? To have pleasure in the beauty and the virtue of other human beings. We got that straight? Pleasure, it's a good goal. You don't mind having pleasure, yeah? Worth a little effort, yeah? Number two is, the second step is, first take a reading where you are today. How do you look at people? Somebody walks into the room, you don't know them. What do you think? Some people look at him as suspicious. Yeah. Some people feel threatened. Some people feel another object. Some people feel irritated. Some people are indifferent. They just don't see him at all. Not an object at all. Yeah. How many of you look at, another piece of music, a concert. Not too many of us. Is that right? So you've got to appreciate that's the wrong set. If this is where you take your own reading, how do you look at a stranger walking into the room? Yeah. What is it that you anticipating, an irritation, a suspicious character, a threatening object, right? Or is it indifferent? That's wrong. You got to reset your look, beauty, gorgeous. All right, we'll figure out how to do it. But you got to know that that is the wrong set. We're on the wrong track. So number three is, in order to get onto the right track, let's focus again. What is the goal, the pleasure of seeing the virtue, the beauty in another human being, which means that we are accepting that they are virtuous. Do you? Do you think that all human beings are beautiful, gorgeous, marvelous, good? Do you accept that? Well, that's a problem. You get that, yeah? So, if you have a Torah, if the Almighty tells you that they are, love humanity, then you say, well, I'm misconceiving. I don't see right, yeah? But I don't ask you to accept authority. You know? Is that the way we Jews operate, yeah? When you see the evidence that the Almighty spoke on Sinai, then you know that he's telling you the truth, right? But how do I show you? How do I focus your attention on it? So look, to put it more in terms that you can appreciate, is most human beings that you will meet, most human beings, I mean 99.9999, have two people who are madly in love with them. And who is that? Their father and their mother. Isn't that right? So if you are the father of this miserable boss or this miserable employee, yeah, you wouldn't think that he's all vicious, etc., yeah? But you would find some value in it, right? Therefore, there is some value to it. Yeah. That's our job, to look at human beings as being beautiful. If you feel that they're not, then you can't love them, yeah?
The father whose son is no good loves that son as much as the father who loves the son who is good.
Very good, very good. Ma Barker loves her children. You know, Ma Barker was public enemy number one. She had five children, all public enemy number one. Right? So you said, Ma Barker, what do you love about your children? Why? They are, do you understand how brave that is to be public enemy number one? The whole police force of the whole country is looking for my son to pull him full of lead. Isn't that courage? No, it's not courage. That's being a reckless idiot. You understand? She wants to love him for some virtue, so she sentimentalizes their virtue. Well, for goodness sake, why in the world should you become public enemy number one with everybody out to kill you for what? You killed some people? What was the pleasure doing that, you dumb idiot? Yeah? You're a reckless idiot. Is that courage to go into a rifle range and stand there while they're shooting? Yeah? That's a reckless idiot. But she will glamorize it, sentimentalize it, because she wants to feel that her children are good. So she will give it the name of virtue. She doesn't really love him.
Is that she just saying that for somebody else's benefit, but deep down she has to know
that they are vicious, rotten criminals, and she hates them. Yes, deep down she does. She does. She loves them because they were her little infants. They had a potential once. But that's why she wants to see good in them. But she knows that that isn't courage. She knows the difference, but she's hysterical. She's vehement, like a person who's insane says, I am Napoleon. I am, I am, I am. Yeah? Oh, so you say, I am, I am, I am, so you are. They know differently. All right, number four is, now let's make it real. What is make it real is feel what love is about. So what do? Make a list of the people that you love. Every one of us has some people that we love. A father, our mother, a brother, a sister, a good friend. Make a list. How many you got? So some people have two people on the list. Some people have 10. Some people have 20. That's doing great. You have 20 people you love, man, you're rich. 20 people you love, you're getting a lot of pleasure. Okay, so number four is, take a look at it and you say, you got 20. You can. How many people have you met in your life? That's ironic. Love is a pleasure. Why only 20? You can have millions. Well, you can't really know millions, but you can have thousands. Thousands of people that you came across. You're poor. If you look at it, you got 20. That's rich. Yeah? If you only have two, that's also rich. It's a lot of pleasure. Yeah, but score according to how many you could love. Now, if you focus your attention, and I'll ask you, which is a greater pleasure, to love others or to be loved? So, for example, if they were given a class at Harvard University, attending Harvard, and 9 o'clock Monday morning, there's a professor who is an expert, and everybody says he's a great teacher, and if you go to his course, you thoroughly understand and accomplish that virtue there. And at the same time, 9 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning, at the very same time, there's another professor. One is teaching people how to love, and one is teaching people how to be loved. Which class do you take? Do you understand the question? Which is a greater pleasure? To love others or to be loved? Take a vote. Love others, be loved. People are very smart. To love others is a greater pleasure. In case you come across somebody who says, I'd rather be loved, yeah, then what you got to do is focus his attention. You can't tell him he's wrong. Nobody's going to take your authority, right? But you focus his attention. You say, look, if you love, it's your pleasure. If you're loved and nobody tells you about it, you don't even know what's happening. You're just an object, right? It's greater to have pleasure than be an object. Am I making sense? Yeah?
Why do you think it is then? Love.
Of course, when we love, it's we grow. We are more. You know, what is the pleasure of love? You know what the pleasure of love is? When you see somebody who's beautiful, you are beautiful. When you see somebody who's courageous, you become courageous. You partake in the beauty, in the meaning, in the. When you see somebody who's clean cut, honest, straightforward, together, full of life and vitality, you get it. Do you understand? That's the pleasure. We grow. And number 5 is to see the irony. We much rather love others than to be loved. And then we have it's such a poor list. I mean, you know, you can find more people to love if they're beautiful. What's wrong? Think back in the last 6 months. What did you do to get people to like you? To get people to think well of you? To maybe love you a little bit? We're all making an effort. We try to be nice to people. We try to we doing favors, right? We're all trying to get people to like us every day a little bit. Yeah? What did we do the last 6 months to like people, to love them? We'd rather love than to be loved. We work at being loved, we don't work at loving. It's a paradox. You got more pleasure. So let me explain to you. You see, this is the eternal paradox of the body and the soul. You ask people, are you living to eat or are you eating to live? There isn't a person around who's going to tell you, I am living to eat. The point of my life is how many chickens I'll demolish before. Nobody will say that. They'll say, well, I'm eating to live. What do you take me for, an animal? Yeah. So you say, so what are you living for? And he's confused. Do you see that? I haven't thought about that. I'm busy eating. I'm busy, you know, I have to get a college degree. I'm busy eating. I'm busy taking care of myself, right? Okay, so you see, the soul eats to live. The body lives to eat. We have two parts of us. Who wants to love? The soul wants to love. The soul, it's a soul pleasure. What will the body do with love? See beauty, virtue? Nothing. The body wants to be loved. It's comfortable. It's reassuring. It's protecting. So we live the soul, meaning that we recognize, we identify with our soul. But the fact is that day to day, we live the body existence. So therefore, you'll find people do a heck of a lot more to be loved than to love. Yeah? Love is a soul pleasure, but it's a very deep pleasure. It's something you've got to work at, not naturally, not doing what comes easy, but by a decision. This will give me pleasure, and I am going to work at it. Okay, so let's say you made that decision. We want to love. So number 6 is, realize that love is a lot of hard work. Love humanity is easy to say. You should love humanity. It's a good thing to love humanity, but it is hard work to accomplish. Saying I love you is an easy thing to say. It's a hard bit of work to do. Yeah. Now, for a fellow to say I love you to a girl, it just makes sense. I mean, if you wanted to go out with you, and if you want anything else, which you shouldn't want, but if you want, then you say, I love you, yeah? You understand, it's got to be. Otherwise, goodbye, right? So, if you want the girl to marry you, you're going to say, I love you, but How do you know whether you're right or wrong? Yeah? It's hard work to really love people. It's easy to say it. Do you see that? Anybody can say, I love you. You know, the missionary comes down the street and says, I love you. Yeah? Right? And say, I hate you. He says, I love you. Right? You just got to learn the right words and the right tune, and it goes nicely. Yeah? But as a matter of fact, it's a hard thing to accomplish. So, if we don't really love, then the words I love you have a hollow ring. You ever have your mom say, do you love me? And you want to say, you want to tell her, I love you, mom. Yeah. But somehow it doesn't come out. You guys aren't married yet, but there are times that you want to say, I love you to your wife, and it doesn't come out just right. Yeah, and you're in trouble. Yeah. You're in trouble. Yeah. You want to say it, but you want to get back into that swing. How do you do it? Say, if you know how to work at it and really love someone, then when you say it, it comes out just right. Yeah? Otherwise, there's something missing. Unless you're a good actor. So number seven is realize that we've loved our parents, we love our children, and we love, as we grow, we learn how to love more. Who gets more love? An only child or one out of 12 children? What do you think? Let's take a vote. Who gets more love from the parents, not from the brothers and sisters, from their parents? One and only child. How many vote for one and only child? One out of 12 children. Tough question, right? So I'm telling you, one out of 12 children. You know why? Each child is a lesson in love. When you learn to love one child, you learn to love all humanity. You've got a lesson in how to go about loving. Two children are two lessons. Three, you're a better lover. You're a better lover. You've learned how. Until you're married, until you have a wife, you don't know from nothing. Yeah? You have a wife, you've learned a little bit about being a lover. Out of yourself, yeah? You have 12 children, boy. You've learned a lot. But that's just learning by necessity, by the fact that, are you going to love your children? Of course, we know that. How are you going to love him? I've got to figure out how. If it's my kid, I'll love him. You're going to learn how. Once you learn how, you can transfer it to others. The B of this is that articulation is not easy, but it's fantastic because when you articulate and you know what it is that you love, it's a breakthrough. Then you have security in your love of your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. You have a security. You know what it is that you love them for. And even when they irritate you and when they nag you and when they... You realize it's that beautiful guy, that beautiful person, that wonderful being, yeah, that has this nasty habit of giving me their love in a very irritating way. Yeah? But you don't confuse yourself by saying, I don't love them. I'm making sense. Yeah? So it's a breakthrough. First of all, it deepens, it gives a security in love, and second of all, it gives it a solidity. It gives it a solidity. It doesn't go up and down, because whenever you focus on that virtue, you'll feel it. You'll see it again and again, once you articulate. Number eight is, take this list of virtues, and after you articulate what it is that you love these people, convince someone that that's the truth, that your father is this superior intelligence or this hard-working being. Where do you see it? Show it to me. Because in doing that, then you will be able to look for that virtue in others. You'll know where you see it. Once you are articulate, you distinguish, how do you see that your brother is this full of vivacity? What do you mean he's full of vivacity? Well, he's always alive, he's always alert, he's always ready to participate, he's never down and this. Okay, then you see another guy who's alive, he's alert, you say, hey, that's beautiful. It's there. Number nine. After you make this list of virtues and you have focused on how you discovered these virtues in your brother, your sister, your mother, or whoever it is that you love, right? Now, you enjoy this about your sister. You know, enjoy this about your brother. And this is the way you see it. Now make a list of your acquaintances. Make a list of the fellas here. Yeah? And ask yourself, how many of these virtues can I find in the people that are in this room? That's the business of going about loving other people. Am I making sense? Using the lessons that you got from your discovery of love, the discovery of a pleasure of having somebody who's got integrity, who's aggressive, who is thinking, who is whatever it is, find someone else who's doing the same thing and take pleasure in another human being who has this virtue. But once you appreciate something, you appreciate it anyway. If you love your kid for being a superb ice skater, yeah, then you'll appreciate good skating anyway, you see. Once you appreciate, you appreciate. All right, number 10 is, now you're ready for the love game. What's the love game? The love game is get a list of all the virtues you can find. Get an encyclopedia, get a rabbi to teach you all the virtues that you can find. Make definitions of them. Get your list of people that you love. People that you love, your own father, your own mother, your brother, your sister, your children, yeah? And find how many virtues you didn't even suspect. Yeah? Alert. Is your son alert? Bold. Daring. I mean, you know, go through all the virtues and you'll find, boy, you haven't even appreciated the ones that you love. Because they are things that we don't look. They're things that we're sensitized to and things that we don't look. We don't know always that our parents happen to be sensitive or talented or musically appreciative or whatever it is, yeah? That is a virtue. We only focus on this or that or the other aspect that we love them for. So that's the love game. Get acquainted, list of people, look for virtues in human beings, acquainted and find them and become sensitized to virtue. Number 11 is now to love all humanity. You see, it's a little hard to take out your list and check out everybody for the virtues and see how many virtues he's got. That's a difficult pastime. So to love humanity, that a person walks into the room, you instantly feel that pleasure of another human being, of meeting another human being. That means that you have to be sensitized to those virtues that are common in every last human being that's working this earth. And what is the virtues that are common to all human beings? You've got to make a list of them. One of them is, you know, you see, that if we can get a robot to put on his jacket, his sweater, and his shirt, and a jacket, and a tie, and make a tie, right? We would be great advertising people. Put it in Macy's window, people will stare at it for hours. Yeah? Is that right? There is a grace, there is a movement, there's a ballet, yeah? We don't see that in people. Because there's too many of them around. You understand? So, you've got to focus on the virtues, on the basic virtues that are common to all human beings. We'll give techniques later on how to do it. Yeah, one of the techniques is, did you ever travel in Romania? How many guys here have traveled in Romania or Bulgaria? Greece? Yeah? Did you meet an American?
Yeah.
Yeah? He spoke English?
Yeah.
You said, hello, how are you? What a pleasure. Speaks English, you can understand each other. Fantastic, what a pleasure to be. What? You go to New York, there are too many of them. Well, like this, you find one person who can speak, communicate, talk. Fantabulous. Am I right? Well, at any rate, you got to look at those virtues that are basic to all human beings, list them, find that they're real, and then you'll find that you can see it in other human beings. All right, number 12 is that in order to do this, the best way in Judaism is, like somebody pointed out, the easiest love is to your children. You have an obligation, you love them. That's the easiest. And somebody who has 12 children, boy, he's got lessons in love. Because he's got to find the virtue. And he's going to find the virtue. He's determined. But once you have it, you can go and look for others. So in Judaism we say, start from your brother and then love humanity. If somebody tells you, I love humanity, but I can't stand my brother, it's full of malarkey. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. First start with your brother, start with your children, then your brother, then humanity. But before all, start with yourself. And that is a technique. From loving your children, you learn to love every human being. From loving your parents, you learn to love every human being. Am I making sense? Yeah? First love yourself. Because from loving yourself, that is the biggest lesson of loving all human beings. So, how do you love yourself? And that's necessary, because if you don't love yourself, really don't love me. Because if you don't love yourself, you see, if you're an enemy of yourself, then if you love me, you'll try to hurt me. You'll get even with yourself by hurting the one you love. That's me. Yeah? So if you don't love yourself, don't love me. Am I making sense? Does that make sense? So how does a person love himself? See, it's an altogether different feeling. When we love someone else, we want to merge with them. We want to touch them. We want to be close to them. When you love yourself,
You don't want to merge with yourself. You don't want to touch yourself. You don't want to, you know.
It's an altogether different feeling. It's a feeling of joy. Yeah. Feeling of joy. But how do you get that joy? First, you focus. What is your virtue? Do you want truth?
Knowing. Appreciate it. It gives you a lift. I want truth.
Do you want to do the right thing?
It's a pleasure.
You're longing to do the right thing. You want it. It's a pleasure. It gives you a lift. Do you want to love humanity really? Do you want that pleasure of loving people, being one with them, helping them? You know you do. You're longing for it. It gives you a lift. It gives you a strength. Yeah? But once you know these things, you know that everybody else does too. You know you have problems. Somehow, I want the truth, but I'm not always working at it. It's difficult. Other people have difficulties too. Yeah? Then you understand human beings. They're as real as you. Then you got that basics. You got that basic strength and that basic thrust of loving humanity. Am I communicating? Does that make sense to you? Huh? You see that? Number 13 is appreciate now that you can't really do this the way it should be done without being an accomplished, disciplined philosopher. That's what Judaism teaches us. In order to really love humanity, you have to, number one, understand virtue clearly. Number two, understand yourself. What makes you tick? What makes you see? Number three, you've got to understand how to discipline yourself to do what's got to be done in order to really get the pleasure that's available in loving yourself and loving humanity. That's power. And you've got to be a disciplined philosopher. Why? Because understanding virtue is without end. You have to define it, articulate it, see it. You got to know what sets you off. You've got to be in control. That's a disciplined philosopher. B of this is, begin your career as a philosopher by taking your list of virtues, which you should have after you make a list of the people that you love, taking a list of virtues and realize that they're not all equal. There are priorities. There are virtues that are greater than other virtues. Now try to list them according to priority. What is the priority? Being devoted to your family? Being courageous? Boy, you know that's an irritation of the mind. What is more virtuous? Yeah? What is a greater virtue? A greater beauty? Do you see the problems? Yeah? That's to begin your career as a philosopher. Number 14 is, if you do that, you did number 13, then you'll appreciate the blessing of having a Torah. A Torah teaches us, gives us instructions of A, how to think, how to be a philosopher, how to analyze things, B, how to discipline yourself that you'd get the work done, and C, it gives us definitions of virtue, love, of being like God, of mercy, of hate, of what it's all about, yeah? That's why we bless bless the Almighty every morning for giving us a Torah. Because if you want to accomplish, you need tools. You need these instructions. Number 15 is some of what Torah teaches us about this business of loving is that the biggest virtue that's common in all human beings, the biggest virtue, is that they are made in the image of God. Tzelem Elokim. We have the divine spark in us, the ultimate potential, which is the power of free will. We can create. Not that we can destroy, that we can create. It's power. It's ultimate in every human being that you'll see. And you treat him with that dignity, with that appreciation, with that beauty, with that volatile, that power. B is that particular virtues, you see, the Torah teaches us one thing about particular virtues. Which is a greater virtue? Wisdom, good, or holy? Holy is to be close to the infinite, the ascetic. Yeah? Above the matter of this world. Good is to do the right thing. Wisdom is to understand. Which is the greatest virtue?
Good.
Wisdom. Holy. Judaism, we have a commandment which is teaching us, you see. Honor the wise man. Wisdom is the greatest virtue. The holy man, you get a blessing from the holy man. It's good. It lifts you. But wisdom is the greatest virtue. Why? Because it's the greatest good. Without wisdom, people want to be good, and they can destroy themselves and humanity. Cambodians, you know, they want to do the right thing. Killed out a whole genocide of their own people to get rid of the evil money. Put them out in the woods. Yeah? Wisdom, understanding is the first, is the heaviest of them all. Yeah? Okay, but it's interesting to see. And that's the Jewish people, the Chabad Talmid Chacham. We had philosopher kings because we honored the wise man, because we looked at wisdom as the virtue, not the power, not wisdom. And it changed our history because of this appreciation. C is that the Torah teaches us techniques. You'll find in the Chumash, in the five books of Moses, that Yaakov Avinu meets these guys, these shepherds who are loitering around. He suspects them of loitering. And he says, Achai, my brothers, where are you from? And the Torah is teaching us, why does he say my brothers? Yeah? Because that's a technique of love. When you say my brother, then you realize a human being, he could be your brother. If you discovered that this guy was your brother, would you look again? Yeah? You say, who, what, when, hey, where, right? So when we focus that he could be your brother, and really, what is it? It's the same protoplasm, right? Well, it's a little removed. We all one. Then you focus in my brother. So this is a technique that before you start correcting people, you better love them. Otherwise, you're going to go at them, bang, yeah. A brother, we won't fight too bad if you appreciate what brothers are. You know, today in America, you can fight with your brothers too. All right, we're up to number 16. You know that anyone here in this room, if God forbid he was injured, we all hurt for him. Yeah? That means that you do care. You're just not focusing on him. Why do you hurt for him? Somebody hurt his back, he got injured, the Chas v'Chalila, if he was in a critical list, we, you know, right here, we'd all be shook. Because we identify, we know that we are one. So you got to live with that we are one. But B is that, look, we know that if any of these people here, if you found out that this guy was Woody Allen under a disguise, yeah, you'd go right after him. Yeah, why? Because if he was famous, if he was wealthy, then we'd focus on him. Yeah, same guy. He could be a great actor. He could be, what is the difference? We want to know what he'd think about love, about meaning, about this. Yeah? It's just that he's not one of the herd. No human being is one of the herd. That's the reality. All right, these are different techniques that you can make for yourself. You've got to pick them up and practice them, drill them, to make them part of your living. Number 17 is that, look, the Torah teaches us the most important thing of them all is to be motivated. Now, we know that. The Torah says, after l'reyacha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. This is it. This is the obligation of a human being in this world. You've got to appreciate that when you know that if you have children, you're going to love them. How do you know who your children are? It doesn't matter. You're going to love them. Why? Because you'll feel the obligation. If you understand that the Almighty made you obligated, or that we really are one, see the obligation, be motivated, you'll accomplish it. Want to, you'll do it. All right, number 18 is for wisdom. Whenever you are learning from someone, focus on his virtues. You can hear him better. When you're teaching someone, focus on his virtues. You can teach him better. For wisdom, you have to be able to love someone to hear him. Focus on the fact that he's a real human being and he has a concept and he wants to teach you. Then you can hear him. You can give him a hearing. Focus on someone that he's a real human being and you want to transfer something to him, you can get it to him. Otherwise, there's a barrier between us. Number 19 is for living anytime you want to move someone. You want to move an employer or an employee. You want to, you know, a customer. You want to move a customer. Well, you want to move a sales clerk. Whatever you want to do, you want to move someone. First focus, he's a beautiful human being. You'll be able to get the job done.
Yeah?
You want to get a raise? Love your boss. Walk in. Love him. You get a raise. You want the employee to come on time? Yeah, you can knock his head.
But then he'll cheat on the side, yeah? Love him.
Tell him how much you love him. You'll get him there.
It greases. It makes people react to each other. Am I making sense? All right, number 20 is just one more. Is that if you realize that when you dislike someone, you're going to fight with your wife, you dislike them. There was a couple that once came in to me, a beautiful young couple wanted to get a divorce. What happened? They discovered they didn't really love each other. How did you discover you really didn't love each other? Well, because there are times I want to throttle her. And there are times that I feel like throwing a dish at him. And I just can't, irritated with him. So they were a beautiful young couple. And I looked, what can I do for them? And I asked them, do you have a child? They had a child. I said, do you love your child? Of course, we love our children. They're idealistic. You know, if you're an idealist and you fall out of love, then you got to get a divorce, right? I said, you love your child? Yeah, how old is he? 6 months old. So tell me, does he ever get up in the middle of the night and won't go back to sleep? Yeah. Does he get under your skin sometimes? Right. You feel like throttling him maybe a little bit, you know? Yeah, occasionally. So you don't love him? No, what are you talking about? Of course we love him. It's just we're irritated. You understand that? So when people don't realize what their love is about, they can actually think they're out of love because they have these feelings of aggression towards someone else. They're irritated with them. They lost their temper. Am I making sense? To the extent that we have young people coming in who say that they hate their parents. You ask them, why do you hate your parents? Well, all he does is criticize me, doesn't give me any room, etc. You say, well, if you had a car accident, who would travel 8,000 miles to see that you get well? Who will sit by your bedside, get you the right doctors? My father, do you hate him? Okay. So if you're irritated with people who are normal, and it doesn't matter, if you're not going to meet that many really evil people in this world, yeah? It doesn't matter if it's your boss or your employee, it's your teacher or your student. A lot of people can irritate you. Your customer or your salesman, yeah? Just realize you're focusing the wrong direction. Focus on his faults, you're hating him. Just focus on his virtues. It's a lot easier to deal with people and to live with realizing that people basically are good. And it's much easier to get things accomplished. All right, now for a why. I just want to give one why. And the why of this mitzvah is, you know, we're in the old city of Jerusalem. I'll tell you a medrash. Right here, the temple site, right opposite us is the Kotel. And the medrash goes like this. You know why this site was selected to be the site of the temple, of the holy mount of the temple, where the Almighty is with the humanity forever after? So the Medrash tells this story. There were two brothers who owned a farm. They inherited a farm, they owned this farm, and they worked the farm together in brotherly love. And finally, one of them found a wife. They found a wife, so they divided up. It was a large farm. They divided up the farm, and he built himself a house, and he lived with his wife, and the other one lived in the old building, and they worked their farm, and they flourished, and they made a lot of money. Well, the one who had a wife had some children. He had a large family, 10 kids. And the other one was still looking for his wife and is alone. One day, the fellow who was all alone, he says, look, I got all this farm, I got all this money. My brother, he also has money, but he's got 10 mouths to feed, he has 12 mouths to feed, and I only have me. Yeah. So at night, he took some bundles of wheat, and he went over at night and put it into his brother's silo. Yeah. The brother, on the other hand, got up one night and he said to himself, look, I got 10 kids, I got a wife, I got everything to live for, you know, my family. My brother is all alone. What does he have? All he has is his wheat, his what he owns. So he got up in the middle of the night and he took a bundle of wheat and he brought it over and he put it in his brother's silo. And they used to do this every night. Every night they would come over. Each one, they'd pass over, and they'd put in each other's silo. And they always wondered, how come we have, you know, I have the same amount a week. It's fantastic, you know. But they went, and they gave. One night, while they were passing over to bring that bundle of wheat, they met each other. And they saw, and they understood what was happening. And they fell in each other's arms, and they hugged, and they kissed. And that is the sight of the Temple Mount. The Almighty decided to build the temple on that place. When a human being loves another human being, the Almighty is with us. wherever we are. That is what living is really about. If we don't know how to love another human being, we're not really into living. We're not there.
You have been listening to Voices from Jerusalem. For a complete listing of our cassettes, see our web store at aish.com. For a free cassette catalog, email us at voices@aish.com or call toll-free in the U.S. 1-800-VOICES-3. Our main office is at 1 Western Wall Plaza, Jerusalem, Israel. Shalom from Jerusalem.